The good news in the 2015 Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey is that the two most important scores are up 1% each over last year. The bad news is last year was the worst ever in the history of the Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey. Bob Tobias is Director of Business Development for the Key Executive Leadership Programs at American University and taking a deeper look at these survey numbers. Bob, so when I looked at these numbers, I thought this is either really great because the numbers are up and maybe we finally turned a corner and we can get on a glide path to better engagement and better leadership connection and better communication, or this is really awful because 1% is just a statistical anomaly off of the worst numbers in the history of the survey, and I don't know what to think. What do you think?
Well, I think it's important, Francis, to look over this over a space of time. So from 2010 to 2015, the scores have gone from 66 to 67 to 65 to 64 to 63 to 64. In other words, they're basically flat. So I don't think this is a turn. I think that there was extraordinary effort last year put in by OMB to make people accountable through reporting and so forth, and that, I think, will have a positive impact. But for me, it raises the basic question whether leaders have sufficient competencies in order to increase employee engagement.
Well, and that's when you said the words make people accountable through reporting, what's going through my mind at the time, at the moment that you're saying that, is maybe that shouldn't be the whole point of it. I understand the need for accountability, and that there's no bigger believer in metrics than me. But the idea that the reporting in and of itself is going to fix anything, I don't think anybody believes that's the case, including the Office of Management and Budget. So I don't mean to cast aspersions on their motivations. But, I mean, it strikes me that here we are again where we're not really sure what's going to happen next. We'll learn later in the program about the Department of Homeland Security bringing somebody on specifically to become an engagement officer. And that's a terrific move on the part of an agency that struggled in these numbers. But I'm thinking in my mind of that line that you're talking about that is essentially flat when you frame it in that way. And it strikes me that for all of the effort and for all of the time and everything that we're devoting across government to trying to make things better, things aren't getting better.
A focus on process alone will not increase those scores. Process is important, but I have to have the skills to create employee engagement. I have to be able to create an environment where we at the Key program describe where those I lead are willing to give me their discretionary energy 100% of the time. Now, that hinges on my ability to relate to people, my ability to create that kind of an environment, my focus on relationships. Now, that has never been mentioned by OMB. Rather, the only thing that OMB is focused on is checking the box that I have done certain things, which, as I say, is important, but doesn't get to what I believe is the root cause for the flat score over the last since 2010.
So the idea of leadership competency for really fixing the core of the problem, in your view, should start where, Bob? Is it a training issue? Is it a resources issue? Or where does it stem from?
I think it's a development issue, Francis. This is not about skills. I can teach people skills, but I can't teach people skills in the context of them developing the ability to successfully relate to others. That's an emotional intelligence development. It's an adult development. So it's not skills, it's development. And the federal civilian workforce does not receive that kind of developmental opportunities at any level. It ought to be available, in my view, at every level.
So those opportunities, in many cases, don't happen, people say, because of resources. That gets back to the budget issue that you and I have discussed many times, and that gets then to the issue with Congress and the way Congress views the federal workforce. We did avert a shutdown this week, but just barely. My sense, and it's just anecdotal, Is that the perception of the federal workforce in the eyes of Congress is at least not as bad as it used to be. It doesn't seem like leadership in Congress is at least as active or aggressive in talking badly about the federal workforce or punishing the federal workforce. However, we still see the uncertainty issues regarding the budget shutdown. Am I going to be furloughed? Am I essential or non-essential? All of that jazz. Is it at this point fair for a manager to say all of those things are affecting my ability to lead, or given that we can kind of expect them, unfortunately so, but that we can expect those issues, is that now becoming a cop-out, do you think?
Well, I think we can accept those issues. We have to accept those issues because that's the hand we're dealt. So the question is, do I have the competencies, given the hand that I'm dealt, to increase employee engagement? And so far, the data says no.
So what do I do if I'm an HR leader or I am another leader in the C-suite at an agency and I decide I've got to start it somewhere? I've got to figure out how to get these competencies in place and how to distribute them appropriately throughout the organization. Again, given the hand that one is being dealt at this point, where does that process begin, Bob?
Number one, accepting the concept that increased employee engagement does have a direct impact on organizational results. And therefore, I'm going to look at the long-term solution to this problem as opposed to the year-to-year budgeting cycle. I have to decide that I'm going to invest in the future productivity of an agency. And it seems to me that that starts both at the top and at the bottom. It starts at the top with those senior SES folks and those who want to be in the SES, and at the bottom with new supervisors who have an opportunity to acquire those developmental opportunities and translate them immediately instead of going for 10 years or 15 years as supervisors before exposed to doing something new, better, different that will lead to increased organizational results.
Is the resources issue a cop-out, Bob, that, oh, we don't have the money and those budgets are being cut?
Well, I think sort of a cop-out because there's never enough money. So the question is, how do I allocate the funds? There's never a line in the budget for training, Francis. Rather, the question is, am I going to increase my training by decreasing the number of employees I employ? So am I going to cut in the short term the number of people I have in favor of developing those who remain on the rolls?
And in a less is more environment, although I hate that term because I don't think it makes any sense, but still, that's the world we live in. In an environment like that, I keep going back to the same point, and I apologize for that, but it seems like that's where we keep going, which is that really a solution, or is that a way for somebody to get to offer an excuse for something that's not happening?
It's a failure of making a decision. I can say I don't have the money to offer developmental opportunities, and that would be true. But I could also make a choice. I'm going to have fewer people on the rolls so that I can invest in those who are on the rolls and in the long term have increased organizational success. So it's a choice. Do I invest or do I continue to limp along?
Well, to be fair, I can understand why that really is an unappealing choice and very difficult to make. And I can only say the folks who are able to make those choices, whichever way they choose, are making tremendously courageous choices in a very difficult environment, Bob. It's terrific insight. It's always great to have you on the program.
Thank you, Francis.